You got one too?
They used to sing a song that I just like to be the one that leaves some of the sense and watches the gate or keeps the gate or whatever. And I've thought a lot of times about we step through that gate one day. What a time it's going to be. And I wonder today if how many people really believe that they're going to be able to go through that gate. There are 12 gates of that city, but I believe the church will go through that eastern gate. And I thought, when we get there, one day after a while, I'm going.
Amen.
I've got that hope.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward
to
going through that gate one day. I'm glad that it's going to be a place like we talked about in Sunday school where there'll be no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more crying. But I'm glad also that God made a way.
Amen.
He hadn't made a way. We heard Brother Mark said wasting our time this morning trying to worship and trying to get to God because we would not be able. I'm glad God made a way. If you've got your Bibles, 9th chapter, book of Hebrews. It's all your prayers this morning, just for a few minutes. Good looking bunch this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Good to have our visitors with us. Want you to feel right at home. Just get right into the service. Hope this morning everybody here is saved. Hope that you know you're saved. You need to know this. This is something you don't need to guess at. You need to know that you've been born again. You pass from death unto life, I believe you'll know that.
Amen.
There'll be a change come about in you, and there'll be a difference in you. 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Very simple thoughts seem like the Lord has gave us today. Somebody here evidently, I feel that the Lord knows before we ever get a thought, a message, who's going to be here. I believe that's the foreknowledge of God. And I believe He's big enough to know where you're going to be at tomorrow. And I thought about how gracious, how merciful that God is. I'm echoing. I can't stand that. But I thought about how gracious that God is and how merciful, even though He knows that maybe, and we, God forbid that you do, but He even knows if you're going to turn Him away today. He knows where you stand at, and He knows what you've done. He knows how wicked that you've been. But yet He still loves you today. And I'm glad that He is merciful enough that He'll give you one more opportunity to be saved by His good grace. 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I love Hebrews. It tells us some things about the Old Testament that we need to know to understand the New Testament. And how that it helps us to understand that the Old Testament is types and shadows of things that are to come. Oh Lord, join with me. I'm going to turn this thing off. Of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second veil went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now listen to what he said, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We will go back up to about the seventh verse. We read this and maybe even heard it the other day quoted somewhere, but it seemed like it just pretty much stuck out at what the Lord wanted us to preach at today. The Bible says, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, for those that may not understand this morning what we're talking about, I want to briefly explain where this is pertaining to. Now, most everybody remembers Moses and the children of Israel. How that God led them out of Egypt through Moses. But they had to have a place to worship. So God instructed Moses how to build a tabernacle, a tent, that they carried with them through the wilderness, that they would set up and they would go in and they would worship God. And this was a different time, a different dispensation than what we're in right now. This was the time that you remember Moses went up and met with God at Mount Sinai. The Bible said that God gave him the Ten Commandments, the laws of the land, and all of that, and how that he came down. And he presented them after the second time. He presented them to the children of Israel. You can read that in Leviticus and all of that. All of these laws that God had gave man. In other words, God set a covenant up with man that it was responsible for man to do things that he would be right for God. But yet, man being a sinner, man being born of Adam, man being of a nature that was not of God, not a divine nature, but a sinful nature, man broke that covenant with God. Because man was not able to keep the things of the God, because man was born that in sin and conceived in sin, and man had the nature of sin. But yet, before that we go any farther, I thought that how that God gave them an opportunity to have a tabernacle, and he gave them instructions through that how they could get in contact with God himself. Now, whether you know it or not, if you don't have somebody to go between you and God, you can't get to God because you're a sinner. And without somebody interceding that has something other than what we have no way of getting to God. But I thought about how that God set it up and how he told them to build that tabernacle. Hey,
language, but he said, now, once a year, the high priest must go in and present the blood to be an offering for their sin. And but I read that in the 7th verse, how the Bible said, but into the second veil, he said he went, the high priest alone, once every year, not without the blood. And first of all, that high priest had to offer that blood for himself. I believe that high priest was afraid to go into that second veil without the blood. I believe that he knew that unless he had an offering for his sin alone, that God would kill him going in trying to offer up the blood for somebody else. And friend, that is what God is showing us, a type and a shadow in the Old Testament of how that God set this thing up from the very beginning. And I thought that without the blood, there's no hope for anybody, any form, any fashion. As Sister Amanda said a while ago, without the blood being applied to our heart, friend, there's no way that we can be presentable unto a holy God. Because we have sin, and whether you admit it or not, you have sin in your life, and you have to be, something has to be atoned for that will cover your sin. And I'm glad the blood is able to cover that up. See, back under the old law, friend, they never had forgiveness. They just had a covering for a little while to get them up to the time that we now live in. I'm glad that there's some good things to come today because Jesus Christ offered up his blood. And thank God by grace today, you can be saved. And the only way you'll ever be saved is still through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God today. There's hope. There's a way. There's somebody that loves us today. Not that he shed his blood to pay the redemption price for our sin on Calvary's cross that day. But I thought about the blood. And I thought about even in the Old Testament how the Bible says that the blood was required. Now the world today says, well, under the old law, the blood. But you remember how Adam and Eve, how they sinned in the garden that day. And it said when they sinned in the garden, you remember how they disobeyed God. And their eyes was open that they was naked. And it said they took fig leaves and tried to sew them together to cover themselves because they realized that they was naked. Until you realize that you're naked in the eyes of God when it comes to your sin, you'll never see a need for a covering. But thank God when the Spirit of God convicts you and shows you that you're lost and undone, that's when you'll see your need for a covering for your sin. And thank God it's something beside fig leaves that'll cover your sin. It'll set you free, and it's still the blood of Jesus today.
Amen.
You remember what happened that day? The Bible said that Adam was down there trying to cover himself and tried to hide himself. You can't hide yourself from God. God can see you. He knows you. He knows how wicked or how sinful you've been, but yet he's willing to cover your sin. Remember what he told, I believe, Isaac there, Abraham did. He said God would provide himself a sacrifice. Now the Bible said that when God came walking in the cool of the day, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And you remember how Adam spoke, and he said he covered himself with fig leaves, and he said, how did you know you was naked? What God do? He took skins and covered them up that day because he found them naked. There had to be some blood that was shed to cover them from their nakedness that day. And it still takes the blood to cover our nakedness, our sin today, our
unfaithfulness, it still takes the atonement that'll cover that up. It'll not be through fig leaves. It'll still be through the blood today.
That was in the third chapter. The fourth chapter of the Bible said, you remember how the two boys that was brothers gave an offering unto the Lord. And the Bible said when they gave that offering unto the Lord, that I believe Abel, being a keeper of the sheep, he gave the firstlings of his flock to the Lord. And the Bible said God had respect unto that offering. But it said Cain, he was a keeper of the ground, the keeper. And he gave the first fruits. There wasn't no blood shed there. So God didn't accept that. And our world's trying to get by on things of this world. They're using religion. They're using denomination. They're using their way, their mammal's way. I'm afraid there had to be some bloodshed for God to accept you today. When you get to heaven to hear a welcome home, there must be some blood applied to your heart for God to receive you in, because they must be a covering for your sin today. Remember what the Lord told Cain? He said, where is thy brother? He said, is thy brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? The Bible said that he told him, he said, the brother, your brother's blood cried out from the ground. This blood that I'm preaching to you today, it's still crying out. That blood that was shed back there with them two brothers, one slew the other. God accepted that sacrifice of that sheep because of bloodshed. He accepted the sacrifice of the skin because of the bloodshed. In the 8th chapter of the book of Leviticus, it talked about when Moses went in and he slew the bullock and he put the blood of the bullock up on the horns of the altar. If you're going to pray unto God, you can't do it without the blood. You've got to come offering the blood of Jesus. I'm glad by grace. It's a gift from God. That's something I've done for you. It'll save you and give you hope today. I thought how this blood, remember back in the book of Exodus, all these magicians had power. The Bible said they brought frogs, they brought locusts, and they brought all this stuff. But the Bible said that God said there's going to be one more plague that comes. And he said, Moses and Aaron, you go in and you tell them to take and slew one lamb per family. And take that lamb without blemish and you offer it up. And you take the blood and put it in an hyssop, in a basin, and take a hyssop and put it on the top of the door and on the sides. He said, about midnight, he said, I'm going to send the destroyer through the land and every household that don't have the blood applied to the door. He said, I'll go in and I'll take the firstborn. I'm not just the children, but I'll even take the firstborn of the beast and I'll slew them. After the only thing they had to escape with that day, it wasn't because their hells were bigger, it wasn't because they were prophets or priests, it's because the blood had been applied to that doorpost. Friend, your only escape today is still through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It'll save you, cover you, cleanse you, wash you, and make you whole today, and give you something you can count on today. The blood, it's not preached much anymore. They say it's a gruesome salvation, brother. It was. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. His visage was, it was marred beyond recognition. They couldn't recognize his feature because he'd been beat and whipped and done so wrong. But thank God he was done wrong so I could be right today. There was no wrong about him. He just suffered death for me. He shed every drop of blood for us today, that we could be saved and set free today. Now the Bible says this, you're not redeemed from your filthy conversation by silver and gold, but you're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. I'm going to tell you something, church. When I
Anybody tries to tell you any other way to glory, they're going to miss it.
Amen.
Yeah. Bible talks about in Revelation, I was reading it this morning, how that Jesus was there in the first chapter. And I thought how good God is. It says in the fifth verse, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us up from our sins in what? In his own blood. And this is an innocent blood that was shed for me and you. Of them lambs and Moses and them had to go out and seek to be able to be protected. They had no choice. But Jesus had a choice. He didn't have to come. But he done it. Why did he do it? He washed us because he loved us. And he saves us because he loves us. He gives us hope because he loves us. And praise God, we get to go to heaven because he loves us and washed us in his own blood. And thank God, I've got something to shout about. It's Jesus that saved my soul. The blood, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me an old wretched sinner, that makes me white as snow. Praise his name. Of that blood, it's got something in it that will cleanse you. He said, brother, if he's faithful, he's just. If you confess your sin, he's able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How's he do it? He does it with his own blood because he loved us and he died for us. Amen. Ain't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? These priests went once a year giving the best they had. Brother, you can give the best you got and still miss heaven. Brother, I'm telling you, our world is on the borderline of down and going to hell because they're trusting what they can do. And I'm not trusting in what I can do. I've got my faith in what he done and what he can do. And thank God I've been washed in his blood because he loved me that day. Now this blood will cleanse you. It'll wash you. This blood will change you from the old person you once was into a brand new creature. Amen. How can blood do that? That's because that's the blood of God that goes on your soul when you get saved by the grace of God. That son that he sent was God manifest in the flesh. I thank God. I'm glad today he was able to shed his blood to redeem me from my sin.
Amen.
This blood will cleanse you. This blood will convict you. It'll show you where you stand at with God. Since I've been saved, I can't do things I used to do and be comfortable with it. Amen? Sin ain't enjoyable like it once was. I was talking to a boy the other night over at church. He said, I wish I'd got saved a lot younger. He said, I'd saved a whole lot of money. He said, I spent a lot of money out running around. I've done things I shouldn't have done. And then old boy said, I waited till I'm an old man to get saved. He said, I'm glad I did. I'm going to tell you, if you get the blood, you can get your ticket. I'm going to go with glory today. It ain't complicated. It's just simply believing in faith what Jesus done, where he's at on the right hand of God, of making intercession. If you can claim it and believe it, you can be saved today. Our world says you got to do this and that. That's because the fruit of the ground ain't acceptable. Amen. The fig leaf won't cover you. It still takes the blood of Jesus Christ to cover you. And thank God it'll cover you enough that when you get to glory, God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Now the blood will clean you up. The blood will change you. The blood will plead your case. church, I'm preaching to you the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You know what the blood of Jesus is? It's the fine line that our world is missing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, you can be religious, you can be faithful to church, you can be a Bible scholar and go to hell.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what you can't do. You can't have the blood of Jesus on your life and miss heaven. That's what's good about it. But you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, your soul, your mind. And I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus will make you love everybody. It'll make you happy today. It'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory today. The blood of Jesus will take a drunk and make a preacher out of him. Amen. The blood of Jesus will take a man that can't stay at home running around on his wife, make him a good husband. Amen. The blood of Jesus can take a father that don't have nothing to do with his children and can care less and make him one of the best daddies ever was. And the blood of Jesus will change you up from the old nature into a brand new nature. Because when Jesus has shed his blood, he gave us hope through himself that day.
Amen.
I'm telling you, church, our world is on a fine line of mystic. I've been studying a little few on religions, beliefs. Let me get something straight. If you're counting on anything but Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection getting you to heaven, you're going to miss it. Anything else? Apostle Paul said, don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't let them in your house. Amen. That's what he said. And I'm telling you, our world today is going to miss it by saying, I'm good enough, I'm straightened up, I'm good, better. That's good, but you're still lost because you don't have the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. When you get saved, there's a difference in your life and you know where you're going.
Amen.
And I thought, hell, there's so many of these religions, so-called things, gives people hope of going to heaven. That they're missing it. We've got our Catholics that says that Jesus has been sacrificed still. That's why you see him on the cross everywhere you look around a Catholic church. Well, I've got news for them. He come off that cross.
Amen.
Amen. And if they want to go further, man, how did he come out of that tomb? Thank God he offered himself one time into the throne room of God and gave his blood, gave his life, and presented it on that mercy seat of heaven to offer the sacrifice for the sin of the whole wide world that they can be saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
We've got him today. He says, well, I'm going to straighten up. God will accept me. You're just a straightened up sinner. You've got to be born again. That's scripture.
Amen.
Church, you ought to be shouting.
Amen.
You kids need to hear this.
Amen.
You need to hear it. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. There will come a time that the old devil's going to deceive the very elect if possible. If you ain't grounded and founded and got your mind made up, he'll lead you astray. Amen. But I've got my mind made up. I've got my hope in Jesus and nobody else. I've learned, brother, people in my life. I've worked with the public. I've pastored a while. I've learned people. People a lot of times will pat you on the back, brag on you. They'll stab you in the back when they get away from you. And I'm just telling you how people is. But I've been saved for about 41 years. And friend, Jesus Christ has never turned his back on me. He's never done me wrong, never lied to me. I never cheated me. I never talked about me. Unless he's gone to the Father and plead my case. Thank God today. I've got the blood that'll cleanse me from all sin.
Amen.
What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. How precious is that flow? It makes me precious is the blood. Nothing can sin atone but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm glad today that the blood of Jesus is sufficient. The grace of God is what we need. And what is that grace? It's a gift. Something we done deserved. Thank God, God seemed fit to give it to us freely. I'm going to tell you something today. You better know where you're going when you die. Because you're going one place or the other. And there's a lot of religion says you'll go somewhere and hang out for a while. Brother, I'm going to tell you where you'll hang out. If you ain't saved, you'll go to hell. That's where you'll go. It ain't popular, but it's the truth. Purgatory ain't scripture. Hell is. And Jesus preached about hell when he did heaven. He's trying to warn the people where they was going. There's not but one message you can preach to the sinner man, and that's repent and believe the gospel today. If you believe the gospel, God will save you. And you say, preacher, I believe it. If you believe it, your faith will have works to follow up, and you'll do something about it and tell a lost world what Jesus done for you today. You know, I said, no seat of silence and be saved. You have to tell somebody. Thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth. Believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. I believe confession is necessary. People says, well, maybe I hope they might have professed the faith before they died. I believe they did somebody hurt. That's when God gets the glory. You better make your profession in front of the world. Not be ashamed of him, because he said, if you're not ashamed of me, I'll not be ashamed of you. But he said, if you're ashamed of him, confess me. For this sinful adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed to confess you for my Father and his holy angels. Jesus said, don't fear the one that can destroy the body, but fear the one that can destroy the body and put your soul in hell. Amen. Amen. The reason I got saved, I was going to hell. Amen. I know I was going to hell. I know if I died that night, I'd be in hell that next morning. And if I had the mercy, the grace of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, I never tried to make an excuse. I never tried to say, Lord, I'll straighten up. I'll quit doing this or that. I just said, Lord, I can't do it. I'm going to trust in your Son and thank God through faith that God saved me and give me something. And then 41 years later, it's still good today. Amen. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Can you imagine when them men went out to get them lamb out of their lot? He said, don't get a sickly lamb. You get the best you got. You bring it back in and you cut his throat. You take the blood. He told them how to prepare the meat, what to do with it. Said to keep that lamb up for 14 days. I believe that was proven. But that lamb wasn't a sickly lamb. He said, you keep her up there, and he said, you kill him. You bring that blood in, you put it over the lintel and down the side post of every door. And he said, when that destroyer comes by, he'll not enter that house where the blood's been applied. Listen, your only hope today, it's not. We got, people says, I'm a Baptist. But I'm glad Jesus got before the Baptist did. Because there's probably 50-some different kinds of Baptists. Amen. And every one of them ain't preaching Jesus, whether you know that or not. But I'm preaching other ways to heaven. I believe in the deity of Christ Jesus today. I believe he's the only way. I believe he's all powerful. I believe he's all seeing. I believe he's able. And no matter what situation you're in, I believe Jesus can still save you and give you something that you can leave this building and rejoicing about and saying, thank you, Lord, that you washed me in your blood because you loved me that day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I'm glad that word's in there, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How precious. Can you imagine what an ounce, a drop of the blood of Jesus is worth? He can cure cancer. He can cure infirmities. He can cure things that we don't have no way of fixing. I'll tell you what's best about the blood of Jesus. He can cure your sin and cover it and wash it away. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Just for a little drop of medicine. I know Jordan takes a couple of shots every month. I believe they said, if I ain't mistaken, the shots would total, if we didn't have insurance, about $14,000 a month. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. It's even more expensive than that. That money can't buy. And that's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, if we just had another drop that we could take and apply to people. And I'm glad Jesus freely. There is a fountain that's pure blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners can plunge beneath the flow. Brother, they can be washed from all their guilty stains. Be cleansed. Be made pure. I'm glad there's more than a drop. I'm glad there's a fountain flowing. And that fountain will give you something that can wash you and cleanse you. And when you stand before God in all your filthiness that you once had, that blood will take up your case. And the Father say, I see my Son's blood. I don't see you as you are. I see my Son's blood. And I see what it's done. When I get to that way, that place of judgment one day, then I can't bank on being a preacher. I can't bank on going to church. I can't bank on being a good feller because I failed in all them times. But I can bank on the blood that was shed for me. And thank God when the Father sees me, thank God He'll see the blood.
Amen.
Unless He sees the blood, He'll say, depart. I never knew you. Now you're saying, how do I get this blood you're talking about? It won't come by transfusion. Because the Bible said when we're in Christ, we're made a new creature. All old things will pass away. Sister Vanda was talking about the man that said he got Jesus all over him, didn't get him in his heart. Well, I'm going to tell you something about this all over stuff. He baptizes us with His Holy Ghost, cleanses us. I'm going to tell you something about this old flesh you're looking at, that the hair's falling out of him. Teeth hurts every now and then, body aches. It ain't going. Flesh and blood is not going to enter into heaven. It's going to be that inner man. We're going to be changed in a moment. You talk about an operation that takes place. Brother, the Bible said we'll have a brand new body. And who's that body going to be like? The reason it's going to be how like Jesus is because the blood has been applied to our heart. And friend, there'll be a brand new body. We'll not get up on that resurrection day with arthritis. We'll not get up and barely able to walk. I believe the Bible said we'll take the wings of a morning dove and we'll fly away. Thank God, a flight that needs no airplane, because Jesus is the captain of my flight today. Ain't He good to us?
Amen.
What did He do? He shed His blood. Now you say, preacher, how did I get this blood? You can't go up here to St. Joseph and get it. Not unless you get on your knees. You can get this blood anywhere you want to go if you come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You'll not have to pay for it. It's done been paid for. We was bought with a price. The ransom was paid in full. It pleased God to bruise Him. What I'm saying by that is it appeased the wrath of God on our behalf when Jesus shed His blood at Calvary. And I believe all these shows that they show, I know some look so real, I don't believe they even got a taste of what really happened that day at Calvary. He never just shed His blood for me. He shed His blood for every sinner that ever has or ever will walk upon this earth. He took their sin upon Himself to appease the wrath of God on behalf of them. And thank God, I'm glad that He was willing and able, and in going to Calvary, He was able to cleanse us from all sin.
Amen.
But I thought how innocent He was. The Bible said a man that knew no sin was made sin for us. Can you understand this? Now under the old covenant, it required man to live good. It required man to keep the law. And when he broke one law, he was guilty. And that's when the covenant was broken. And that's why God sent a better covenant. A And this covenant is not what we've done, it's what Jesus done.
You're going to lay on your deathbed and say, I've been a pretty good fella, I'm going to heaven, you're going to miss it. But I want you, if you lay on your deathbed and say, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's why I get to go. I don't come to church to be saved. I come to church because I am saved. I've been born again, and I've got somebody that's worth worshiping every time that I get up here today.
And I'm telling you, you better know. Time is running out. If you watch the news and the things that's coming together, brother, I'm telling you, it ain't going to be long. I know Apostle Paul thought in his day that Jesus would come. Can you imagine how much closer we are now than what he was? Jesus is coming. You might be like one of the scoffers and say, I've heard that all my life, and yet he's not coming. But when he does, and he is, you better have the blood applied. You better know you're saved. If you're not, you better make preparation today. Today is the day. Say, get a song. Maybe it'll be a simple message. Somebody need to know that day's away. That your sin can be covered. You may be sitting here today feeling so guilty. So ashamed of your life. So ashamed of your wrongdoing. Jesus took your shame to Calvary. The Bible teaches us he hung before the whole world in shame. He never done it because he had anything to be ashamed of. He took my shame and your shame upon himself. And he bore it upon himself at Calvary. Church, everybody wants to stand. This altar's open. I don't know where you stand at with God. I'm going to tell you something. You better know where you're going. Because you're just one heartbeat away from eternity. If you die the way you are without Christ, you're one heartbeat away from hell. The Bible said the rich man died and was buried and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being tormented. There ought to be no waiting period when you die. If you're lost, whether you die and you go to hell. And that will be the end of it. You'll burn there forevermore, eternity. While the ages roll on and on, you're being tormented. But you don't have to go. He loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he shed that blood at Calvary. Thank God. Thank God it was sufficient. And it pleased God for us to be saved by. Would you come this morning as they sing? This altar's open.
Sweat became his great drops of blood. I believe he began our sacrifice in the garden. blood, you get the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit blesses you to have 9 different graces of that Spirit. And the first one I believe it mentions is love. You'll love everybody. You'll love the world, the things, the people of the world. You won't love the things of the world. But you'll love the people enough that you'll pray. And their souls will be concerned about. And this morning, maybe you're here and you're lost. You never had the blood applied, truly had the blood applied. Never been saved by God's good grace. And this morning, God's dealing with your heart. And you'd like to say, church, pray for me. I'm lost. And I need Jesus. Bless that little hand. Someone else this morning. I'm lost, preacher. I need Jesus in my life. I need cleansed. I need washed. God bless that hand. Someone else this morning. God sees the hands. He sees the hearts. And what they need most of all. Someone else truthful enough. Your first step to accepting what Jesus done at Calvary is admitting that you need it. And this morning you may be here lost. Someone else, I'm lost. And I need Jesus. I want you to pray that God will have mercy. Someone else is born truthful. Just for the slipping up your hand, would you do that? Are you concerned? Maybe you're here and you've got doubt in your mind about your salvation. You're always worried about whether or not you're saved. You're always afraid that if you die that you won't make it. And this morning you need help praying. Listen, God can let you know. I know the devil will fight you. But God can let you know that you're saved. And maybe you're here this morning, you need prayer in that manner. You just want to slip your hand up. Don't be ashamed. Listen, it's important. It's necessary that you know where you're going. And you can know. This is one religion. You can know where you're going when you leave here. Because God fills you with His Holy Ghost and gives you something inside to prove what you've got. He gives you the earnest of the expectation. In other words, He gives you a down payment of things you're going to receive. You need prayer this morning, anybody? Just for the slipping up your hand, would you do that? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that was paid. And we praise you this morning for your Son that was willing, not only willing, but able to pay that sacrifice for my sin. And Father, I ask you for these that's raised their hands this morning, said that they're in need of salvation. They're truthful. They're afraid of dying. They know where they're going. They don't get saved. Father, I ask you to help them to understand the urgency of being saved this morning. How that when you knock on their heart, all they need to do is come and receive you as their Lord and their Savior. And Father, I'll give you the praise. I can't save anybody. Can't even save myself. I just have to trust you. Father, but I know you can save everybody if they'll come to you. Go with us now. Bless this church. Help us have revival. Help us see people saved. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you just sing one verse? I know it's getting late. Says coated them with skins.
Ain't you glad the Lord is what covered us? We didn't have to go out and kill an animal. Jesus Christ gave Himself, and the Lord covered our sins. The Holy One covered the unholy by His own blood. Praise His name today. We love you. And I thought how good it is to be saved in a world that's so full of trouble. Seems like in the last 6 months, this world has picked up speed going downhill. I mean, this seems like things that comes out now is just unbelievable how people believe them, how they are condoned. It's just unbelievable to me how wicked this world has all become. But I'm glad Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. No matter how wicked and vile this world may be, if you've got the blood, thank God you've got a covenant for your sin. We love you this morning. Maybe somebody's got a word of testimony, something on your heart this morning.